When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I'm sitting with my longtime friend and producer, Allison. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Rach.
So we decided to do a pop culture roundup today, and we picked the one and only Sarah Fraser. You may know her from her podcast, The Sarah Fraser Show. She does great clips and posts on her Instagram that I'm always laughing over because she's so creative. She's got a great background in journalism and broadcast. So you should definitely follow her and listen to her podcast for sure. But she breaks down everything that she is following in pop culture right now. You know, I woke up this morning and had to be schooled all about the Taylor Swift era and what new era we're in with the Drunk Poet Society. What's it called?
Tortured Poets.
Yeah, well, same
thing. But similar, very similar. Yeah.
Drunk Poet, tortured, whatever. And, you know, it's like these Swifties are like nothing else, which, of course, we talk about in the episode. But I can't get away from it. I mean, my daughter has a jar out of, you know, so that we're filling it with money so I could take her to the concert in October. And I just can't get away from Taylor. It's like, but I love her. I love her. Swiftie, don't come after me. I love her, but I just can't figure out this album yet. Maybe it's so many songs. It's so much to get through.
It's a lot. I did listen through iHeart last night. I listened to the whole thing. I was there for the listening party. And then I was there for the drop of the other songs. I mean, I was in my house, but I was there, you know, listening with the rest of the Swifties.
You stayed up late to listen to it all?
3 hours earlier here. So I didn't have to deal with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm in it. I'm in it with everyone at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm excited then to see how it grows on us. And if that becomes another concert, then
there are definitely some songs on there that you're going to love.
Okay, good.
Well, there's so many that like you can't concentrate yet. What exactly, you know, pinpoint your fave yet. You got to give it time.
Right. Got it. Okay. Well, Sarah Fraser gets into all that stuff about Taylor, but then we really break down the D-Day that happened with Bravo in the last week. There were so many things, divorces, breakups, people getting fired.
People having babies. Lots of stuff.
And then
people out, people in.
Right. And then of course, Bethany has her new podcast, which I know you're obsessed with.
Well, I'm obsessed with her as a figure because she's just fascinating. I mean, last month she was picking out lip glosses at Target, and this month she's talking about how, you know, divorce changed her and is literally giving every dirty detail about her 10-year divorce. So it's like, I mean,
yeah, I don't know that I want to hear about her traumatizing sex life with Jason.
I don't think I do either, but she apparently thinks people are interested in everything she does.
You know, I think that it is very interesting. She does have a huge following. People listen to all this stuff, but people, I think the takeaway is starting to be like, this might be too much info because she does have a daughter that has to listen.
But doesn't she go to therapy? Like, is the podcast therapy? I that's what I'm confusing this with.
Yeah, it could be her way of, telling her story and getting it out there. Maybe. Well, we'll have to follow that and see. Yeah. But anyway, we go through all the hot topics that are out right now and have a really nice conversation with Sarah of all the things that she's obsessed with and looking forward to in the future. So I know you will enjoy my conversation with Sarah Fraser.
We'll be right back.
How good is that music, actually?
Girl, we were your both intro,
jamming out to it.
Your intro is fire. And always, your roster of guests, I can't, like Rob Blagojevich. I'm actually, I know you're like, girl, really, of all my guests, that's the one. But his life was so tabloid for so long. Anyway, you have amazing guests.
I know. Well, I was going to say, the first thing I love about my show, of course, is the guests. The second thing I love is that intro. It's so good. I love to jam out. Yeah.
It's good.
Anyways, I'm so happy to have you here. People love to have this pop culture roundup because I don't really follow all the news the way I should be. So I needed to have you here today. So thank you so much for joining me. And before we get into all that, though, I want to talk about you. How long have you been doing your podcast?
8 years.
Incredible. And you are doing like so well. You have amazing guests. The fact that you got an exclusive with Drake Bell, right?
I did. So right after Quiet on Set documentary dropped, which was a couple weeks ago, and you know, that whole thing was huge because it exposed Nickelodeon's Dan Schneider, who was the producer, and then Brian Peck, who sexually assaulted Drake Bell when he was 15 and had worked with him for years, went to jail for 16 months. And then Brian gets out and is still able to work in Hollywood with kids to this day, although I think a lot of that's changing. But yes, so right after that, I actually have a mutual friend, Drake and I have a mutual friend in common, and we'd been talking for a while that he wanted to come on my show. I had no idea though that he was going to reveal what he revealed in Quiet on Set Doc. And then he said, yeah, I'm really ready to tell my story. And so he did. We talked for an hour and 20 minutes and I had the first interview on that Friday after the documentary dropped.
And it blew up. It went everywhere. Did that change your podcast at all? Or, I mean, obviously people knew of you already.
They did. You know, it's so funny. And I'm sure you experienced this, but it's like when those moments happen, you get this initial bump, right? So I got asked to be a guest on a lot of people's podcasts, but I would say only half of them actually followed up and followed through.
Interesting. Do you think it's because the news cycle goes so quickly? I was just talking to my producer, Allison, about this last 2 weeks ago. Everybody, like, their morning stood still because of the video that came out with Mike Shuhead and the girlfriend, right? And everyone's like, oh, shit, this is, like, terrible. The next day, like, no one was talking about it anymore. It was weird. So do you think that people just were over it after hearing a little bit about it?
Yeah, I think people's attention spans are very short. And I think that people move on quickly. So probably if they can't get you that exact day to talk about it. And I get that. I mean, I'm sometimes the same way. I reach out to a guest and it's like in that moment I want them, but then a week later you're like, well, you know, it just doesn't hit the same. So I totally understand that. But it did, yes, I have to say. And there's been even more interest in, you know, you and I are on the podcast monetizing side. So I've been reached out to some other companies that are like, hey, what are you doing, you know, with your podcast monetization wise and all this. So I think all these moments certainly help for sure. And I've been doing this a very long time. So it feels good when you are rewarded for your hard work.
Right. And gives you more credibility. Wait a minute. I'm curious about that because I did see on your Instagram, you were talking about potentially teaching a class to anyone that wanted to sign up. Have you decided what you're going to teach?
Yes. I actually already have the course, but I'm going to do, and anybody listening to this can email me, I'm going to give it away to 20 people for free because I'm sure that there are blind spots. I've been doing it for so long, you know, so I'm sure there's things that I don't even think about that someone starting a podcast is like, hey, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. So I want to have a test group of two groups of 10. Mm-hmm. I want them to just come on. I want to do the course. And then at the end, I want them to say, well, I wish you'd answered this, or could you do more of that?
And what's the arc of it? Is it how to monetize your podcast, how to start a podcast from scratch? What is it?
Well, I think that's what I'll find out and really hone in on when I do the test group. But yes, I think it's going to be growth and monetization because I've been in this game so long. I mean, when I started 8 years ago, nobody advertised on podcasts. No one knew where to find a podcast. And now we are still in its infancy. You know, it's a $2 billion a year advertising industry. And
I'm so glad that you're saying it's in its infancy because so many people are like, oh, you know, it's too late to start, or, oh, you work on a podcast. Okay. What do you really do? You know, I'm trying to do this for a living. Like, this is my income right now. And so I want to sign up for your class because I want to, you know, obviously people come to me and they think I've only been doing this a year. So thank God that an advertiser even remotely thinks about advertising on my show, but I want to know how to really do it and how to get the sponsors and how to get those year contracts that really make a difference, you know, so that I love doing this. I think it's so much fun. Do you love it?
I love it. And you are really good at it. And you have this incredible, I believe anybody can podcast as a side hustle and turn it into a full-time job. Mm. I am where you, like, I'm just a couple years ahead of you. Cause a couple years ago I had a couple of different jobs and I kept thinking, how do I make it a full-time income? And then over the past 3 years, because it is still in its infancy and we are never going back to people advertising on radio. We're hardly going back to people advertising on local television. So that money is going to go now online, YouTube, creators like yourself, myself. And you have this incredible advantage that you know these amazing people that come on your show and tell their story. That is very valuable. So you will get there. And I believe whether people have a following that you have, or maybe they have a business podcast. There are so many ways to monetize your show, and it's only getting bigger and better and more opportunities because these advertising companies are looking for incredible talent like you. But there are some things that people don't realize. A lot of people feel like they can just sign up for a podcast company to sell them and then never check in with that company. And truly, to make this your full-time job, you have to be in touch with your advertisers and your ad rep a lot more than people think. And that's a huge disconnect for podcasters. Because a lot of podcasters aren't great on the business side, or they've never worked with clients on a more personal basis. But if you don't really foster that relationship and tweak your commercial and give them some added value, they are not going to sign for that year contract that you want. But a lot of people don't know that stuff.
Right. Okay. Well, this will be really interesting. And also there's a whole, you know, social media component to it that people really have to understand. That's like a whole separate business on the side. So I hope you get into that.
Yes.
And you know, what I would love to suggest to you is, so I think, you know, this, I had Kathy Griffin on recently and she talked about how she has these luncheons with women or sometimes men too, that come on and just talk about certain topics. It'd be so great to have some sort of luncheon where a bunch of us get together and talk about what we've learned, the ups and downs, things that we want to share, contacts, whatever it is, not guest related, but contacts in the business, you know, and I think that would be so interesting to put all of our minds together and talk about all the terrible things that have happened so they don't happen, all the great things that have happened that led to other things. That could be really helpful. So next time I'm in your area, let's put a lunch together.
We have to do that. And I'm not sure if I'm going, and you and I think talked like too late for this, but there was just podcast movement in LA, which I wish that you had come to because I thought of you. There were so many things I think you would love and other podcasters to connect to and advertisers and AI growth. So there's actually another one coming up in August in Washington, D.C. I'm like toying on the fence, but maybe we should go because a lot
Let's go. Let's go and have fun. We'll stay in the same hotel. We'll go out at night. This could be really fun. I would love it.
All right. Well,
what we could do, Sarah? We could do one of those Montana Boys videos together that I'm so jealous that when I went on your Instagram this morning, I saw you did one with David Yontef. Okay. So before we get into more stuff about pop culture, which obviously the top story is Taylor Swift this morning, but my biggest question is what the hell is going on with the Montana Brothers? Why does everyone care? What is that stupid song? What do they do? I don't get it, but your video made me laugh. I probably watched it 15 times.
The Luke Combs song?
Yeah.
Well, the Montana Boys, I think, Kristen Cavallari really kicked that off because she's dating one of the guys that's so hot. And, you know, it really is the perfect combo. That guy owes her everything because she catapulted him. But, you know, there's not a big age gap, but there's over a decade age gap. He's like 26 and she's 40 or close to 40, I think.
Uh-huh.
So there's that, right? There's always that, you know, stigma, even though it's ridiculous, of an older woman dating a younger man and she's divorced and she has kids. So what is she doing with this guy?
Right.
But she's the one that really set it off. And then he is part of these two other guys, they call themselves the Montana Boys. And I loved it. They were just actually on Dave Portnoy's podcast the other day, who I'm obsessed with Dave Portnoy. So, and they were, all they have right now is a clothing line out. And the clothing line, thanks to Kristen, has done more amazing than they ever thought it would. And they don't think that they can do a podcast because they're three men of so few words, which is true. I mean, they were like a joke on this.
James, wait, tell me everything. Was it hard to get a word like pulled out of them? This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Mother's Day is quickly approaching, and if you're anything like me, it could be a struggle to find the perfect gift. I mean, there's so many times you can just get a scented candle for someone or a bathrobe. This year, I'm gifting beauty with LolaVie, the Jennifer Aniston-approved hair care. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know I'm a LolaVie fanatic. Their products make you feel like you have a spa inside your own home. The vegan and cruelty-free hair care line works for all hair types, because they take the time to formulate the naturally derived plant-based ingredients and then test on a variety of heads. And here at Misunderstood, we've got a treat for you guys. For a limited time, you can get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code Rachel at checkout. Please note this is a new code for this brand. So just make sure that you are using Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L at checkout. Whether you want to spoil yourself or get something for mom, look no further than LolaVie. I've been using LolaVie for a while now, and I cannot say enough great things about it. My hair is my favorite accessory, so I make sure to take really good care of it. And LolaVie has been a huge part of that. Their products are for the shower, post-shower, every part of your getting ready routine. Personally, I'm obsessed with their signature scent. It's a mix of citrus and woody notes. It always feels fresh. My favorite products right now are the restorative shampoo and conditioner, and I absolutely love the detangling spray for my daughter. Everything feels luxurious. If you're looking to get mom on the road to some luxury, try some of LolaVie's bestsellers, and they will not disappoint. Unlock Jennifer Aniston's approved hair care at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code Rachel at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Rachel. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
Well, no.
You know what's funny? Wait, before you answer that question, you know what's funny about them? They do different. So for people listening, if you don't know who they are, they do these videos with like these songs and they like lip sync it and they kind of walk one guy in front of the other and one's hotter than the other. And you kind of are like, oh, who are these guys? But then you're like, well, this is dumb because they use the same song in like 30 posts. That's what I don't understand. And then it's kind of like, well, do they have a job? I like that UPS guy that's always dancing to different music or a cowboy that's always dancing to certain songs because it's funny. Like he's at his office. But like, do they work?
No, this is their job. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't love to be known for that? I mean, how lazy is that? That's great, I guess. Were they not even able to answer a question on David's show?
No, they did. On the BFF pods, they did. But they just were, you know, Brianna Chicken Fry and Dave were saying like, okay, what, to your point, what is their point? Like, what is your end game? Yeah. And they said they didn't think they could do a podcast. They can't sing. You know, they really are hot blockheads. They are entertaining.
You get a Calvin Klein, shoot or whatever out of that. I think they could probably get that. There's going to be a 15 minutes of fame that extends for a little bit, but then they better ride that wave super quick.
Super quick. Yeah. And that's it. They're hot Montana boys. And now of course, everybody does a spoof, right? Like have you seen the Georgia husbands that are like fat? They call themselves the Georgia boys and they're like fat knockoff versions of the Montana.
Oh, that's more my type. So I'm going to have to go log on to them for sure. I like that dad bod.
You do?
I do. I really do. If they're too good looking, they're annoying. You know, they don't listen. I was married to one who was very good looking, 10 years younger than me. And still to this day, people were like, why would you divorce him? He's so good looking. And I'm like, dude, you know, there's a lot more that goes into a relationship than that. I like those guys with dad bods. They try really hard. They love you so much. You know what I mean? They're not going anywhere. So that's
no, you're right. I have to say that's the most, I think that is the best relationship tip ever is to find a man that really adores you. And usually that means you're the hot one and he's a little less hot. And people say to you, well, you could be with someone even hotter. But to your point, it seems great, but then they always get a ton of attention from other women you don't want. And if you have a man that just adores you, that's a little like you, the one that leads, it's the best. It really is the best.
Right. It's nice to feel like you're the Giselle in the relationship.
That's my relationship. Have you seen my husband? He's very handsome.
He's very handsome.
I got so lucky and I don't even know why. He should have left me years ago, but he's very handsome. He's very cute. Everybody always says, but like, he's not a Montana boy. I would say this to his face, but he is the greatest husband I could ever, I never have to worry about him. And to your point, that peace of mind is excellent. He's a very good man.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com. When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Thank God he's not a Montana boy. So wait, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have a long history or career in journalism. And you know, I was looking at some of your tapes when I was researching you. You were really good and funny. You had me like laughing and I love your energy. So can you tell me like how you got into it?
Yeah. So I've been in broadcasting almost 2 decades, which is like insane to say, because I started in 2005 in DC. I went to an all women's college in Massachusetts, Mount Holyoke, which was a terrible decision, but because mostly just because There were no men in sight. I wanted to party. And I always say the Mount Holyoke women were, they were all brilliant. And I was the dumbest one. And I always wanted to be a radio DJ or a trashy talk show host. I never wanted to be a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer. And all the women there did. They were amazing women. But I was like, where are the men and where are the drinks? Like, it was just, it was really bad. So I managed my way through that. I moved to DC. I'm just a hustler. So I went around to every radio station and I knocked on doors and I said, are you guys hiring? And a couple of them were hiring promotions and I worked my way up. I became an assistant producer. And there was a saying in radio, you're not in radio unless you've been fired. I probably been fired from 5 radio jobs probably in my career. They change formats. They run out of money, you know, okay. Radio's dead. So I was sort of on the tail end of radio. So they would go bankrupt or whatever. And they'd be like, all right, Frazier, we're making cuts. So today's your last day. So, okay, oh, wow. Great. But I did get extremely lucky in 2007. I landed a co-hosting job on a show called The Kane Show. And from that show just went to number one with iHeartRadio. And we were syndicated in Tampa, Florida, and in Memphis, Tennessee, and Louisville, Kentucky, and Cincinnati, and Baltimore, and Washington, D.C., and SiriusXM. And that changed my life. That show changed everything for me, my financial situation. It gave me chances to do red carpets and interview celebrities. Oh, wow. And so I had a 7-year run.
And what did you do with them? Were you doing pop culture stuff? Were you talking about news? Were you picking songs? Like, what were you doing?
No, we were the morning show. Okay. So if you ever listen to a zany morning show in your town, that was me. It was Kane, Sammy, and Sarah. And Kane was the dad, and Sammy was the 20-year-old college student who was high all the time. And then I was sort of the voice of reason. Oh. And it just worked. We all had chemistry together, and I was on air for that with them for 7 years. Wow. I left. Unfortunately, my co-host a couple years ago died of a drug overdose and alcohol overdose. It was really sad. We were an example of how money and fame changed everybody for the worst. We started out as great friends, but once the money came and the fame, everybody became divided and hated each other. And, you know, I've learned over the years that rising tides lift all boats, but that was not the motto there. The motto at iHeart and Hot when I was there was, it's not show friendship, it's show business. And they proved that to be true. So I had to leave and move on. And I moved to Fox 5 DC. I did a TV gig there as an entertainment correspondent and a true crime journalist. I did true crime podcasts for a while. I always have done like comedy things, improv, stand-up stuff. I worked another radio gig in between. But then my last radio job, I got a severance package and I knew radio was dead and podcasting was the future. And so I took the money and I started my show.
Wow. And so it's really important, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, to find somewhat of a niche or like a brand, you know, because a lot of people are always talking to me, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. And I'm like, about what? And they, you know, oh, I'm going to talk about the news or my life or, you know, like Bethany keeps starting new podcasts, talking about her divorce, whatever. So everyone has something to talk about. But I think it's really important to find your niche to be able to stand out and also to have it have some longevity to it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I do tell people when you start your show, if you've always had this desire to tell your story or to have a podcast, just do it. And don't worry about the niche at first, because most people quit. You know, most people never get as far as you've gotten as that I've gotten. Most people will do it for 6 months and they realize, as you know, it's a ton more work, right? It's so much more than you think. Research, even doing research for guests is a heavy lift, you know? Oh, yeah. So I always say to people, at first, just get your reps in. Just commit to, if you're going to put your show out on Wednesdays, just do it. But to your point, to actually really make money, yes, you have to become known for something.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's actually hard for people to know what they want to, you know, focus on and be driven about. Okay. So when you first started, what did you know you wanted to talk about on your podcast?
Well, I mean, to your point, I actually, when I started the Sarah Frazier Show, I had no idea. I did it 3 days a week at a comedy club in DC, at the DC Improv. I will forever be grateful for them. And I had no idea. I did everything. I broadcasted from a mosque to find out more about what it was like to be a Muslim woman and in a Muslim community in Virginia. I had a Oh my God. I'm trying to think. I've had everybody on my show. I did Black Lives Matter things. I did comedy stuff. We did an election night party when it was Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. And
fun. So you basically were almost like a variety show where you would cover
completely
all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And incidentally, have you ever gone into an Amish community to get to the bottom of what's going on in there?
No, but that would be a good one.
Maybe we could do that together because I am dying to know what's happening. Same thing with Scientology. I want to go in. I want to say, you can't change me, and see if they can.
Okay. Well, I would definitely join a cult. So I know they would change me. Here's what I always say. I would be a Scientologist until the part where you have to give them money. I am like, I hate that. Make me famous first, and then I will give you my money. I'm not doing the $100,000 audit for Scientology to get to No, you bring me to the next level, and then I will get... It's like, it should be like a manager. Once they make you famous, here's 20%. I'm not giving you 20% beforehand. But that's what Scientology. You got to pay to be audited. No, thank you.
I know, you're right. And they're out there like washing dishes as like a famous actor kind of. It's terrible, yeah.
And that Sea Org where you have to go out and work like, you're a slave to him? I don't think so. You make me Tom Cruise's equal, and then absolutely, I will clean toilets for you and everything else. But it doesn't work the other way. No thanks.
Well, it actually would be funny if the two of us went in because I feel like they can't, get me and they can get you. But the whole point would be we want to find Terry Miscavige. The guy's wife that's been missing. Where is she?
She's in Northern California. I've got a podcast for you. Actually, this woman's a good podcast guest for you. Did you ever watch the LuLaRoe documentary that was about the LuLaRoe leggings multi-level marketing scheme?
No. Do I need to?
Yeah, you'd love it. This is so
I'm
you.
Writing it down.
So the woman that is the main character in this, she was a victim of the MLM, of the couple that started LuLaRoe. She now has a podcast solely dedicated to exposing multi-level marketing schemes and the damage that they do to people that are on the lower level, because you have to buy in so much money and then you lose it. You're never going to sell your leggings. She is now investigating Scientology, and she located, I actually think, I don't know if she drove up there herself or if I think maybe it was another podcast, true crime podcast, but apparently Sheila lives, that's her name, right? Isn't it? Or Shelly. No, sorry. Shelly.
Shelly, yeah.
Shelly lives in Northern California on
I
a mountain.
Terry. You're right. It's Shelly.
Shelly Miscavige. And apparently there's like security at the gate at this gated hilltop home. It's all Scientologists. And supposedly that is where she is.
Yeah. But has someone really seen her? Because wouldn't that have been like on the cover of People?
This is the house where Shelly, to your point, no, I don't think anyone's physically seen her. I think they were able to track her down by she voted a few years ago in the state of California.
Oh, come on, Sarah. You know there's voter fraud out there.
Well, there's the voter fraud.
I'm curious if she was a Trump fan or a Biden fan.
I bet they're Trump fans, don't you think?
Well, I mean... Who knows? I'm not going to go down that road, I guess. All right, let's get into some hot topics. You covered a lot of really good things recently, but today everyone is talking about Taylor Swift. Are you a Taylor Swift fan?
I'm a new fan. I went to the Eras Tour. I did. And now I'm a fan. I never got it. Have you been to her concert? Have you been to?
I have. I went broke doing it, but I did do it. And my daughter constantly talks to me about, she gives me PowerPoints on why we need to go again in Miami in October. I know every price, every seat, every location of this Miami theater because she brings it up so many times. And by the way, she stayed up all night listening or waiting for the album to drop or whatever.
Orchard Poet.
Yeah. Fell asleep like 5 minutes before. And she woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, so upset that she missed the release. And on the way to school this morning, we were listening to it. And I'm like, these songs don't sound so great, Wyatt. What do you think? And she turned into a pterodactyl and was like, how could you talk like that? This is her best album ever. So anyways, Swifties are Swifties. And did you see what David Portnoy, speaking of him earlier, did you see what he posted this morning?
Yes, I loved it. You and I both liked it. Basically, there's a song because it's a double album. It was released at 2 a.m. this morning, Tortured Poets Department. And one of the songs is Thank You, Amy. But at the end of Thank You or Thanks, K is capitalized. And in Amy, it's A-I-M. So people are equating it to Kim. Mm-hmm. And in the track, it says, I know your kids are going to be listening to this forever, you snake. But it doesn't say that. But it says essentially like your kids
something are like that.
Something like that. Your kids are going to be singing this song forever. And I love it. Dave Pornay came on and he was like, Kim, you're just scum and we'll never forget.
Right. And they were doing like a lock her up chant for Kim Kardashian this morning based on David Portnoy's assessment of the whole thing, which is hysterical.
All right. But what do you think? Because you've been in high profile conversations. Do you think it's getting a little desperate that Taylor is still, because this is a decade old or getting close to a decade old feud when they release that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I still am upset about something that happened to me in eighth grade with my friends. I remember everything that happened. I remember her name and I still don't like her to this day because of it. So I get that. But I also will say that Taylor strikes me as being a little bit immature. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I mean, she's young. So she strikes me as being, she's had to be so mature in so many ways and her lyrics are becoming more mature and she's used to this, like in all the songs we've heard in the past, it's very like high school love. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like inside of her head, she might be a little more, stuck in the past. So it doesn't strike me that she would be stuck in the past with that. But also a lot of her songs are about people and things that have happened to her and things that have made her write songs. So I get it. I think it's normal. And I think it's fun for the people that are following this to feud about it. And is it about this boyfriend? Is it about Travis? Is it about, all these different things? So I don't know. I love it. I think it's part of her brand and I think it's fine.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm beginning
to like get over it.
It's like a little desperate to me. I don't know. I'm just saying it feels as though we didn't want to put a Travis song on there. Although maybe, cause I haven't had a chance to listen to all the songs. I mean,
they're saying Alchemy is about Travis.
Oh, it's about him. Okay.
Yeah. Because she has a lot of football references and touchdown and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have to listen later today and we should have my daughter on to really break it down, but she's at school.
She would know because I'm like, is this sort of avoiding Travis? So we're going back for this decade old feud. I mean, that's a long time ago for that tape. Right. But, as our friend Dave Portnoy said, Taylor did have to go into hiding for an entire year because of so much backlash and scrutiny. So you make a good point. That's not something that most people, anyone is probably going to just get over. That takes a long time.
Yeah. I mean, remember when Kanye stood up on stage and took her award away from her and said it went to Beyonce? I mean, that whole thing of Kanye and Kim together, I just think that probably is so like in her bones and it probably has not left her psyche at all. So it she should get over it, but I think it makes the album more exciting for, the Swifties to listen to and take a side. They always take a side, right?
Oh God. Yeah. They're totally team Taylor on this. So yeah. I take it back now. All right. Now I feel like, okay, you know what? It's still got some legs in it.
Right. Okay. So a lot of stuff happened in the Bravo world in the last week or so. So I wanted to talk to you about, because you cover so much Bravo and I wanted you to kind of break a lot of this stuff down. So I think, first of all, it started with a lot of people being let go. We had Anne Marie first, then we had Crystal. Then we had someone else, Robin Dixon. Like, what are your thoughts on all these people getting let go? And then also there's the rumors that Rebecca Minkoff is now on Roni. So like people being let go and new people coming on. What are your thoughts?
Okay. So we had a Bravo D-Day recently. I mean, it was, I can't recall another day in Bravo history where you had so much going on. And then Candace Dillard Bassett, who already had announced her exit, announces that she's pregnant, right? 13 or 14 weeks pregnant. It was a huge day. I make of it this. Robin Dixon needed to go. I really liked Robin. I spent most of my career in DC, so I know all these women. I'm so thrilled because Potomac is the only reality show ever to be successful in the DC area. It's not a reality TV town. You know this from high profile people and men. People are very high profile, very rich. They're very powerful. They don't want to be on camera.
Correct.
It's a very hard town to find talent. So I loved that this show happened, but Robin, whatever really did go down with Robin and Juan and that cheating scandal, we will never know what, yeah. Whatever is out there, that is all Robin's going to give us. So there's nothing left. She had to go. Glad to, you know, happy to see Robin go. We needed to break up Robin and Giselle. I think Neco will be fired next. That was also the rumor on Monday. I don't see how maybe Neca survives. Maybe it's a Crystal Minkoff situation where they kind of need this sort of neutral-ish person, but I wouldn't miss her if she were gone. Okay. Super happy about Candace being pregnant. Congrats to her. I think she has a career outside of Bravo, so I think she will go on to do amazing things, acting, singing. I think she's all good. I've been on the fence where I thought Real Housewives of Potomac would be canceled, but I do think it will continue probably with the cast that they have. They'll look for a couple other people and see how this next season goes. So I say it survives.
I'm curious. Do you know what the lowest rated housewife show is?
Oh God, Miami. I don't think anybody watched Miami. I don't even know that Miami got 900,000 views.
Okay. So we're going to get to Miami in 1 second, but I'm curious. Did you ever watch the Housewives of DC when it was only on one season and now it's out in this big vault that was released on Peacock, which is very interesting.
Yes. And in fact, Paul Wharton, who appeared as a friend on that season, used to co-host the Sarah Fraser show for about a year.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Paul was great. He knew all the women, and Charisse came on our show. Yes. I loved the Salahis. Oh my God. I thought they were so great. Right. I really liked that season, but that it didn't do well.
And it also didn't do well because the feds got involved because of them and Tarek and, you know, he's actually a friend of mine. He's going to do the show, I think, coming up soon. He lives near me. We go out to dinner once in a while, and he's now in a completely different world, married to a new person, you know, is heavily involved in the polo lifestyle. So it'll be interesting. I just spoke to him today and I asked him if he would come on. So he's going to come on next week. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah, but I thought that was a good one. You know, I've never watched Potomac, but I, you know, it seems like a lot of people do like it.
It was great several seasons ago when you had Monique and you had Candace, and I think Giselle and Robin were less used to their antics, I guess. It was good, but I do think they're struggling for sure to find, you know, it's hard. It's hard to find a Kyle Richards, you know, it's hard to find an Erica Jane, right? Where her story transcends even pop culture. Yeah. You know, I mean, Tom Girardi was such a huge attorney here in LA. And I mean, then he was a part of the famous Aaron Brockovich movie that Julia Roberts wins an Oscar for. I mean, it's hard to find these people that sort of transcend pop culture, but Potomac needs that, I think.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about Miami because you brought it up. Alexia's divorce. Do you care? Were you shocked? Were you as shocked as Alexia?
I know she was. I actually just read that she made another statement. She's so thrilled that fans are on her side with the whole Todd divorce and that she was warned by a friend, but didn't take it seriously and thought they'd work it out. Well, first of all, I'm not a fan of RHOM. I actually find that to be the least interesting franchise.
Okay.
You know, I've heard mixed things that Alexia knew well in advance this was coming, but I'm sure it's devastating. I don't know her. I don't follow their storyline specifically. So I have to imagine.
So I think any divorce would be devastating. So that is one that I watched probably because I live in Florida. So I thought I'd start watching, but I only started this past season and, you know, it was hard to watch Lisa. It was hard to watch her constantly talk about her divorce from Lenny while she had some other boyfriend in every scene with her. It was like this poor guy. I didn't understand why he was sticking around with her when all she did was cry and talk about her divorce from Lenny. And it seemed a little pathetic to me. But I found the characters, you know, I don't know. Some of them were really interesting. I think Gertie's kind of interesting, obviously, what she's going through, what she went through on the show, opening up about that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of obsessed with the whole Larsa and Marcus thing because they were on Traitors, so I like them. And I like her, but I just think I wish she could acknowledge how weird it is that she's dating Michael Jordan's son. Just, I think it would be funnier if she was like, Yeah, that's so fucked up, right? Like, oh my God, he must be thinking of us at night having sex. Like, it's too weird, you know, whatever. But like, she makes it seem like, what's the big deal? No one talks about anyone else's, you know, father. But it's like, she's not dating, you know, some guy who works at the gas station. I mean, like, and the dad is like a nobody. Like, that's terrible for her to like not be connecting about that.
Yeah, I know. I should get more into it because I do enjoy the Larsa and Marcus. Yeah. And speaking of podcasts, they had a very short-lived podcast that only lasted like 8 episodes and then they stopped.
I didn't listen. I don't know what they could be talking about much.
Well, clearly they didn't know either because it couldn't continue. Although, to be fair, I mean, there are two people that probably have a lot of money, so they're probably not that interested. Like, what incentive do they have to keep this going?
Right. What is your favorite Bravo show?
Oh, Beverly Hills. I mean, I love it. And I loved this past season of Salt Lake. I loved it. I'm so sad to see Von Teese leave. I just feel like she's great.
You know, I just feel like the casting is so strange because you would have thought that they would have almost forced her to be back on because it makes for such great TV. And that's what people want to hear. I don't think, was anyone watching Salt Lake before that? I mean, I guess they were because of the whole, what's her name that went to prison? Shaw. That was kind of interesting too. But like, I think that it made this season really good.
It made it so great. It made it must watch TV. Must watch.
Right.
I don't know. There's going to be some reason that she isn't back. I don't know if the whole story that the producers really didn't know that she was a part of this, but maybe that is true. And then they feel a bit duped or that they need to cool things off. I always feel like maybe all the other women got together and told Bravo us or her.
I agree.
So it's like, well, are we going to recast? You know, I mean, there is strength in numbers. So if they all went to Bravo and they were like, look, we're 100% not resigning. If you put her on, I don't know. I mean, that would have been something.
But no, I get it. I think you're right. And I do think that's what happened. Were you upset? You said you like Beverly Hills. Were you upset about Crystal and Anne-Marie?
No, I would have kept Anne-Marie and I never thought Crystal brought anything anyway.
Really? So it's interesting, but don't you feel like it was so evident she was trying so hard this season to have a storyline and a voice and be this angry woman and stand up for herself. So I actually was shocked when they, you know, when she said she was leaving, because I thought, oh, she really showed up exactly how they wanted her to. And Anne-Marie, you know, I don't know. I didn't really know what to think of her. I didn't think she was terrible, but I didn't think she really stood out either.
Well, Anne-Marie sort of got, you know, Anne-Marie's whole situation got derailed because the husband, Marcus, has been accused of, or Marcellus, sorry, has been accused of sexual assault back when he was at Columbia by a former student there. And so that dropped weeks before the premiere. And a lot of people feel as though Bravo scrambled a bit to edit out. Because, you know, if you think about it, we never really saw them interacting a lot as a family. It was almost like one family scene, Anne-Marie was introduced, and then that was it. You know, you didn't get a lot of character building. And a lot of people feel like that's because they had to edit him out. They didn't want a lot of controversy and stink around that couple. So I, you know, it's funny. She didn't bother me as much as other people. I actually liked her. I really like when super intelligent women are on, and she certainly is, even though she's not a doctor of anesthesiology. She's a nurse of anesthesiology. You know, she's a smart cookie. Like, I like a woman like that. And, you know, to be fair to Crystal, maybe we just never saw that side of Crystal. Apparently Crystal owns a cocoa water company does enormous. I just don't recall them ever really. Maybe she's a fantastic businesswoman, but we never saw that with Crystal. You always saw Crystal she just jumped on the bandwagon of anything, any line she could get except for her own. So,
right.
Does anyone care about her brother? Like, if her brother's getting married or if she's meddling in her brother, like, no,
terrible. Yeah. Super boring. Do you care about Real Housewives of New York? Do you care about the rumor that Rebecca Minkoff is on?
Yes. I love it. I think it's great. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand why she's already getting this hate just because she's a Scientologist. And people are saying, well, she was very close to Danny Masterson. Okay. Well, is she still close? If she's still close to him and she doesn't believe that he really raped a woman, then that's a problem. But have we heard that yet?
We'll have to hear her side. Maybe that's what makes her interesting.
Right? I mean, this is just so stupid, internet hate. It's like people already... Is every Scientologist evil? I mean, I'm a Catholic. You know how many Catholics like helped cover up these priests molesting kids? Is that
right?
Should I never be on a TV show because I'm Catholic? Like, let the woman have a fucking moment. It's crazy. Like, it's just what drives me nuts about some Bravo podcasters and just the internet in general. It's like, yeah. give her a beat. There's horrible people in every religion. So yeah. We're not going to have anybody on that's part of a religion. Like, that's so stupid.
Absolutely true. Speaking about podcasters in the Bravo world, Bethany Frankel, we brought up earlier, is in the news today for talking about her new podcast, which is all about her divorce, her sex with her ex-husband, Jason, as equivalent as torture. What are your thoughts on, first of all, does she have to have a podcast for every avenue of what she wants to talk about? And do you think she's just a total hustler and is doing this because it's such a moneymaker and she's getting ads for each one separately? And it just is, all she cares about is her bank account? Or like, don't you think she would have had to sign an NDA with Jason? Like, I just feel like this is so weird. And also, I have a kid her age. I definitely don't need to be airing my dirty laundry about my sex life with the father of my kid. I just think it's sort of strange. What do you think?
I'm completely with you. And you talk about, I don't even think she needs the money. I think she is so desperate for attention, anything for attention. I'm not a Bethany fan at all whatsoever. And every time I talk about her, I get Bethany stans that give me 1-star reviews on my podcast. And I don't give a shit. You're welcome to go do it. I don't get you. You all mistake me for someone who cares. Bethany is genius in two realms. One, if Reality Reckoning is such a great idea. But if Bethany was true to that, she'd be reaching out to other people from TLC. I do a lot of stuff with TLC. You want to talk about underpaid? So many of their talent. Underpaid, no benefits, no 401k, nothing. They end up having to try to make all their money off Cameo. She hasn't, you haven't seen her parade one TLC person out. What about VH1? What about MTV? People that spent years. Why aren't they telling their story on her podcast? She doesn't care. This is a personal vendetta against Bravo and Andy. So that's a shame because I think she was actually on to something. And two, Bethany should have a show that is just Bethany, and it's almost like Bar Rescue, where she goes to businesses. If she's such a terrific businesswoman, which she claims to be, she should be going into a business and going, you're doing that, opening their books, going, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that. Like, wouldn't you want, almost like a Tabitha, remember that show with Tabitha where she went into salons and redid? Okay. It would be so epic. But I don't think Bethany doesn't care about other people. It's about, has to be about Bethany. That is why we are now getting Just Be Divorced. And I refuse to listen. I'm listening to Tori Spelling's misspelling because I actually find that more fascinating. But Bethany will drudge up anything. And it's just sad because she was such a huge talent. But I don't see how you can follow her now.
Wait a minute. I didn't know about Tori Spelling. Is she talking about why she lives in a trailer?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Treat yourself to a weekend. And Tori's brilliant. The episodes are like 27 minutes, sweet spot. It's so good. And it is all about, she goes to her storage units, which by the way, she couldn't pay the bill. So they were getting ready to do like a storage war where they were going to auction them off. And
that
then
happened
it,
to me.
It did?
Yeah. At a time in my life where I cannot pay my bills. They auctioned off all my stuff.
It's, oh my God. Was anything terrible. Super valuable in there?
Yeah. This was a very long time ago, but it was devastating. But you know, it also makes you have to start brand new, but I still think about it to this day because I'm like, oh shit, that table would have looked amazing in here. Like I'm still not over it. Like we were talking about the Taylor Swift thing and Kim Kardashian. I'm not over it. I harbor a lot of resentment about a lot of things that happened to me. Sorry, I digress. Go on.
Actually, I kind of want to hear more about that. No, it's a good learning lesson, right? Like it puts your whole life in perspective.
Yeah.
She goes
to her storage units and does what? Goes through them?
They cut open the locks because a friend paid the bill. And it's actually so sad. What's inside? She's like, she is storing... oh my God, old papers. And I'm not even kidding you, like Lysol disinfectant spray. And she's like, I should have lost these storage. I should have given them up. She goes, I can't believe I was storing. I'm sort of a borderline hoarder. And then she goes into how she, you know, her mom has not really helped her, even though they've had hundreds of millions of dollars. And she just never had any perspective on money. And even though she's in her 50s, it's kind of her Achilles heel. Like, she sucks with money. And to this day, the hardest part for her to wrap her head around is that she's just not like super famous and her dad's not here to give her money. It's like, and on the surface, you think, God, this is so superficial. Like, people have real problems. But, you know, we're all just, you're all just victims of your own environment. So for her, that is the, that's her ultimate low. Because, yeah, if I grew up in this, I mean, how many, what was it, like 45,000 square foot mansion in Beverly Hills, and you had drivers and chefs. And then, you know, he dies, he gives you one. And she said when she was doing 90210, all her castmates were, had investment advisors. They bought homes. They bought a second house to invest. And she was like, I'm not doing that shit. Why would I do that? I'm like a trust fund.
I thought she didn't need to. But what is the drama between her and her mom? Like, why did the dad leave the money to the mom thinking she'll take care of Tori? And isn't there a brother too?
Yeah. He's amazing. He's like a spiritual counselor now.
Did they leave him any money? Did the dad leave him any money, or does the mom support him?
Aaron Spelling famously left both Tori and her brother just $1 million each. And then the rest of the money went to Candy. And I don't know. I think they are very both quiet, meaning Tori and Candy. I think they're very quiet about their relationship.
But that's like the whole thing. It's like, how could this woman let her daughter with 11 and a half kids and farm animals live in a trailer? I mean, it's so bizarre to me. I mean, first of all, my mom would do that too, so I get it. But, you know, I just think because it's so public, you would think that she would at least just buy her a fucking house by now. I mean, it could be $500,000, just buy her something. I feel bad for her. I'd love to talk to her. I think she's very interesting. And what do you mean she thinks she's not very famous? If you, anyone who doesn't know the name Tori Spelling, I think everyone knows who she is, no? Or maybe she hasn't done anything in years.
I think you're right. I think she is famous. But I think the, you know, she talks about, which is true. I live in Los Angeles. She talks about, look, I have five kids in the most expensive state in the country. What am I doing? And I think probably because she's divorcing Dean, she can't just move to another state. Cause that, listen to the podcast and I like speak to her while I'm doing, I'm like, girl, move to Arizona where it's tax friendly. But she probably can't do that because of Dean. The kids have their friends here. But I will say, in defense of Candy, there was a story that came out this week that Candy is now apparently helping her financially. So I don't know if that's true, but I feel like it was a legitimate outlet. I can't remember if it was People, but they caught up with Candy Spelling and she said, yes, I am helping Tori financially. So
hopefully, that could mean she's paying the gas of the trailer. I mean, we don't know.
Or maybe just, you know, maybe she's just paying for the grandkids, like the grandkids schooling, but Tori's got to figure out everything out.
Yeah.
So,
well, okay, it remains to be seen, but I'm kind of obsessed with that story and I'm obsessed with her. And, you know, her other friend, Shannon, it's heartbreaking watching her go through her struggle with cancer. Have you been watching that? She has her own podcast out now. Which, do you listen to that?
No, I haven't listened to it much, but Shannon breaks my heart. It's just, it's so hard to hear, but I think Shannon's amazing because to share your journey every step of the way inspires other people, helps other people talk about it. Hopefully we get a freaking cure for this damn cancer that so many young people are getting.
And it's incredible how many young people are getting it. It's so scary. It's so sad. It's just, you would think at this point they would be able to come up with something. They were able to figure out how to curb HIV, like, you know, so you would think by now, hopefully soon. It's just terrible. I don't even want to talk about it, actually. So
isn't it hard? I think that's with Shannon. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's the, my dad died of esophageal and stomach cancer years ago when I was in high school. My mom has beat cancer twice. She's had breast cancer and she had kidney cancer 2 years ago. She had her kidney removed. Thank God we've caught it early. But I hate it. I think because I live with it so much, it's like, I just can't listen to it because I just want to keep my head in the sand. And
I hear you. I totally understand. All right. Well, then let's move on. So I want to know briefly before we end here. So what are the things on your radar? Like, what are you following? And I know you do a lot of like sister wife stuff and all that. So what are the things you're obsessed with right now?
Well, now I'm obsessed with the show Seeking Sister Wife. Mm-hmm. And tonight, Love After Lockup. I'm going to be watching Love After Lockup for the very first time on WeTV. which has a new season. And that's all about people that fall in love with someone in jail. And then the person is getting out and they try to navigate their lives. And of course, most of it's extremely disastrous. So I can't wait. I'm a first time viewer to that. But Seeking Sister Wife, I've watched, it's in its fifth season. You can't even make it up. And I enjoy these couples so much. They're all seeking. And the women are, for the most part, are at, like, leading the charge. They are all looking to add another wife to the group. And it is.
Why? Why? Isn't one hard enough? I don't get it.
So my husband says, he's like, are you kidding? I have all I can do to handle you. You want to bring another woman in here? This is bananas.
It's not just about threesomes. It's about a relationship and the whole thing.
Many believe it's a religious calling. So one couple that people hate the most are named Garrick and Danielle. And they both come together and they say years ago, do I believe the Holy Spirit had this time on his hands? I do not. But they claim the Holy Spirit visited them and told them they were supposed to bring on a third wife. Now, do you think of all the things in the world that the Holy Spirit and Christ have to do, they talk to them about bringing in another wife? Hell no. You are so full of it. Like, I mean, isn't Christ busy? And you think he stopped to tell them to get a third wife? Fuck off.
That's hysterical.
So, but that's what they always go. The Holy Spirit spoke to us. So he is now on a mission. He found a woman in Brazil. Danielle divorced him. They were legally married, divorced him in the state of Colorado so he can marry this woman from Brazil, Natalia, and bring her here and she can be their third. So it could be the three of them.
Okay. So we'll see how that happens. And what goes on with that. That's very interesting. Now, I'm very open on my podcast about how I'm in the dating, you know, trying to find the one. So, you know, I love shows like this because it always gives me hope. I'm like, maybe I should get involved with that kind, you know, polygamy. Maybe I should start writing letters to men in jails. Like, hello, The Menendez brothers married like a couple times. I actually tried to get the wife on my show. She hasn't responded yet, but I find it fascinating. I want to do an episode on what it's like to fall in love with somebody in jail and how you make that work. I had a funny conversation. I'm trying to think if I can say with who it was. I guess I can. It was with Michael Lohan, and he was talking about, he was just here visiting. And I was talking to him about what it was like when he was in prison years ago. We're talking in the 80s, okay? 80s and 90s, whatever it was. And he was talking about how he would get conjugal visits with Dina and they would have sex all over the prison. I was like, how did that happen? That seems like, he's like, oh, we would go into the area where the pastor does the church thing. We'd have sex there. And as soon as I got out of prison, we had sex like five times in the car. And like in the, you know, we stopped at a motel to have sex. What are you saying? I found it very interesting. So it creates like a big sex drive for you. I think it's kind of sexy, no?
Oh my God. Yeah, I think it is. I think there is something about just hot jailbait that, you know, yes, gets people going. I think you should cast a wide net. Yes, you should reach out to the men in jail. I mean, I don't know. I think I'd rather be in a polygamous relationship than jail. I'm just like, I don't know, white collar crime, I guess, though. That's fine. So maybe, all right, maybe some of the guys in jail, but you know, no hardcore, you know what I'm saying? No,
but they're so fit. They're so fit, those guys in jail, because that's all they have to do, right? I mean, work out.
So many hot guys in jail.
Yeah.
Shame. Yeah, the polygamy, you'd be on a reality show in a heartbeat. As a polygamous wife, epic.
I'm still dying to be on Love is Blind. I still think that's such a good show. Do you watch it?
Yeah, I do. You'd be great on that too.
They should do one for older people, you know, because everyone on it is 20, in their 20s, and they don't have a job. I've never understood why they don't cast people with a real job, because someone with money is going to do better than someone who makes like $12 an hour and you have to go live with them in their studio apartment. It doesn't make any sense. You know, like they should cast it a slightly better. All right. Are there any other shows you're watching or things you want us to be aware of that are hot topics on your mind?
I just watched, let me get the accurate title. Did you watch on Hulu the documentary about the fake handbag business?
No.
And I love it. I'm ordering a bunch of fake bags. And now carrying a fake Chanel or a fake Dior is the shadow world of counterfeit purses. Super fakes. I was addicted to this show. And you have to go on Reddit. And then you have to go on this. I got to get on Reddit. And you've got to go to this one link. And you ask for this woman, Linda, in China. And she will connect you with somebody else. that's independent. And then you order these fakes. And then basically what they did on this Hulu special was they brought in experts and they were like, okay, tell us which one was real and which one was fake. And it like takes them a hot second. Hermes bags, all this stuff. I'm like, okay.
Can we get Linda's number?
Yes, I will find Linda's number for us. And they said 15, 20 years ago, because I can remember I have the sweetest gunkles. One Christmas, they were so excited and they came to my house and they had purchased a bunch of fake Louis Vuitton bags down on Canal Street. And they were they were like, guess what? You're going to be decked out in Louis Vuitton.
Oh my
All
God.
Fake. But I had never had the heart. I was like, yes, thank you so much. But of course, you remember like 20 years ago, you would never care. You'd never be caught dead with a fake. It'd be so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
But this documentary now talks about how all these women like are openly sharing like, this is fake. This is fake. And like, I'm saving all this money and I'm investing and this is a fake. And how now it's this badge of honor. And also they've gotten so good at counterfeiting them that it's almost like, do you want to buy the real thing?
Yeah, well, it is a waste of money. I mean, I was in Paris over Christmas and of course I went to all the stores and went shopping. It is so expensive to get these bags now. I mean, I was looking at a dog bag, okay, at Goyard. I mean, of course, very ridiculous rich people problem stuff. It was so outrageously expensive, but it was so gorgeous. I didn't get it. But then I found out that you could get these online for a fraction of the cost. I mean, it still isn't that inexpensive. It was like $700 or something, but as opposed to $5,000, I was like, okay, that makes sense. It's a fascinating world. I'll have to look that up. Do you have any other interesting people coming on your show?
Who's coming up? A lot. Well, Carlos King, who has Reality with the King podcast, he's going to be on soon. I've got a dating expert that is coming up on Monday, and I'm trying to think of who else I'm working on. There's some other TikTok people that really fascinate me that I'm working on, but no, I've sort of had like a bit of a lull in guests, and I cover a lot to you said this before, Sister Wives, and there's a lot going on with that show because unfortunately, they're a polygamous family. They have 18 kids. One of their sons took his own life a couple of months ago. And so there's a lot of discussion of if this show is going to continue. So I'm sort of wrapped up in that. But no, I always, I'm always looking for that fascinating guest.
Yeah. Do you have a bucket list of someone who you really want to have on?
Sandra Bullock is my dream. Gisele Bündchen, who I need to reach out to because she just did a Nourish book. So now is the time. Who else? Actually, I watched the Patriots documentary, so now I'm less interested. But Bill Belichick used to be one of my dream guests because I wanted Bill to come on and talk about everything aside from football. But I actually think it would be the most awful interview of all time. I don't think he has anything else to say. So
yeah, probably not. I had the guy, I actually have the book right here that the show was based on. It's called The Dynasty. And I had the author on to talk all about what it was like to make that book and interact with all those people. So I haven't watched the documentary much yet, but I finished the book. The book is extraordinary. I should actually send it to you. I think you would like it. Not even a football fan. It was just such a good book about the people involved and the stories.
I have so many dream guests. Oh my God. Dave Portnoy is a dream guest. Isn't he amazing? I love
amazing.
Dave. I love that Dave is unapologetically Dave. I'm obsessed. I want more women to behave like Dave.
I know. I really love him. I wish that he wasn't so obsessed with people that were like 20 because he only hangs out with like 25-year-olds, because I'm over here and I'd love to hang out with him. But no, I think he's so great. I love that he, I love the whole thing with Miss Peaches and, he can't speak with a normal voice when he's around her. I think it's super cute. It's always this high pitched Miss Peaches and hearing his little giggle is so cute. So I think people are definitely starting to like him more and more, especially because of the rescuing of the pit bull. And I have two pit bulls, so I appreciate that. And they're both rescues, but also because of, his rant this morning about, like we spoke about with Taylor Swift. So, but wait, I want to go back to Sister Wives for one second. I'm not going to say who, I'll tell you off air, but I have an exclusive coming up in a couple weeks with one of the main people from the Sister Wives. So you're going to have to fill me in on all the details with that. But, I think that it is very interesting what's been going on with that show. And I really don't understand it. I mean, I'm not having them come on to talk about the show per se. I'm having them to come on to talk about the reality of that life It's fascinating. And it's fascinating how they've all gone their separate ways. And my biggest question is, how the hell does he support all these kids? What does he do? You must know.
Oh yeah. Well, Cody Brown has always been in firearms. So you never really see what he does, not because he's doing anything illegal, but because obviously I think even though guns are legal in this country, people have very hot takes on if you are a gun dealer. Now, one of the things that people get upset about is he often goes to gun shows, which, you know, again, is legal in our country. You can resell a gun and in some states, you don't have to do a deep background check on people. I believe in every state now, I think you have to do a background check, but I think there isn't a cross state background check. So if they don't have legal issues in that state, you can still sell them the gun. So a lot of people have very hot takes on him going to gun shows and being a secondhand gun dealer. And I know your audience is much smarter than I am when it comes to this. I actually believe there probably are states where you don't even have to still do a background check. So yeah, people have issues with that.
Well, definitely I can understand the issues, but I still just don't understand the simple logistics of how do you feed four wives and 18 kids and have all these big houses. I just don't get it. But
well, they make all their money now off Cameo. So they've all made a lot of money. And now, you know, Sister Wives,
the kids are working for the money too.
And the kids are all grown, and they talk about on the first couple of seasons of the show, because I became a new fan probably 3 years ago, but then I've gone back and watched the seasons. And they talk about the first couple of seasons, they have no money. They had all they could do to feed the kids, to make their bill payments. And the wives worked. You know, Janelle always worked in accounting. Christine was a stay-at-home mom. Robin never worked. But Janelle always worked. And Mary ends up, she worked for several seasons and now takes over her mom's bed and breakfast. And they all now sell, well, a lot of people have controversy with this, but they all sell multi-level marketing items. They have a Plexus tea, which is the famous pink tea. And they claim it is not about weight loss. It's about gut health. And Janelle, this was an exclusive on the Sarah Fraser show. I had listeners write to me. Janelle has a motivational coaching company, and she just went back to work and is seeing clients again. So that was listeners that brought that up. So yeah, they do. I think now they have a lot more money and they're 18 seasons in. So they certainly are probably some of the highest paid talent on TLC.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we wish them the best of luck. I mean, it's obviously it's terrible what's happened to them with the child. And I'm sure they're all taking it poorly, but I know that, I saw, I think on your feed that Janelle had gone back to work now and, which is, by the way, always important. I think when you've had such a tragedy in your life to kind of get back to normalcy and to be working. So good for her.
Look, I'm sure all of them want to, and if we've all lost people that we were so close to, whether it's friends or a sibling, I'm sure they want to crawl into a ball. But I mean, we all know you have two choices in life every day, right? You can just get up and make the best of what's happened and move forward and honor that person. Or you can let it consume you. And I think it's great. You know, hopefully she can find purpose and they can find great ways to honor Garrison. And it's so hard. And I think why so many people have very hot and opinionated feelings about this, because a lot of people feel like we shouldn't even talk about the Sister Wives family right now. And I think it's because TLC, unlike Bravo, there's no glitz and glam. It's really the way they film it is coming in as a fly on the wall into people's homes. And I think when you do that, there's this less they're a celebrity and more they're our neighbor.
That's a really good point. Yeah,
people feel very protective, I think, of a lot of TLC people versus Bravo. They feel like all these women, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I think that's the perception. A lot of people feel, well, these Bravo women want it. They want the fame. They want to be in the limelight. They're fame hungry. And so let's have less empathy for them and more for these people that were just kind of watching their lives unfold.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you joined me here today. I don't want to take too much of your time up anymore, but I think it's obviously going to be evident to my listeners if they haven't found you before. Now that they found you, they're going to go listen to you because what you offer is so interesting. You have such good takes. You're so knowledgeable on everything. And I cannot wait to hear more about your classes that you're putting
together. Oh, you're taking it.
I was just telling you before we started about how, even though, again, as people have been listening to my podcast and think I've been doing it a long time, I really haven't. I just interviewed Meghan King yesterday and the whole thing fell apart. My computer died. I had to finish the episode on my phone. And then the same thing happened. It was a technical difficulty thing, but it happened when I was interviewing Melissa Rivers. And I thought I was going to die because I was so excited that she agreed to do my show. And then like the last 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I see something blinking on my computer and the whole thing died. And I was like, oh, how amateur of me, you know? So all of us have something that's terrible that's happened. I would love to, you know, share that in a meeting with all of our friends about the worst things that have happened. But anyway, and I know, you know, and by the way, you're still on David's podcast. You guys share, what do you guys do with each other? So people can find you there too.
A pod swap. And I'll talk about this too when you come on the course, because our pod swap's worth it. We'll do a deep dive into that. But we do every week, we do two episodes together and we simultaneously release them on the Sarah Fraser Show or Behind the Velvet Rope. You can get it either place. And it's all Bravo. So most of the time I just talk to whoever I damn well please and talk about TLC stuff in my own life. But 2 days a week we team up and we do deep dives into the Bravo gossip of the week.
Yeah. And it's so good because then you can hear everything and you guys have such good chemistry together too. So
we get on. David's a trip, but we get on well.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So tell people where they can find you and learn more about you and listen to your podcast.
Yes. The podcast is The Sarah Fraser Show. You can get it everywhere you get your podcast. So whether that's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, I put a new episode up daily so you can get something every single day. I'm also The Sarah Fraser Show on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere you get your socials.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sarah. I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want. And reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com. When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.